Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Hey, the 20th of this month, we get a new president. Donald J. Trump will become the president. He'll be sworn in, and he'll be the president. We have an outgoing president. What's his legacy? You know, you listen to all the other people on radio, they'll tell you his legacy is that of division and destruction of the Constitution, all kinds of stuff they'll throw out there. But there is a different kind of legacy, and we have to look at the legacy. And here's the thing. People that that already have their belief in stone, his legacy, I will tell you this, for many of my colleagues in this business, President Obama's legacy was written the day he became president, and that narrative's never changed. Right? That narrative's never changed. At all, one time, zero, zilch. Same kind of people that still look back and they hate Reagan, even though he did some stuff that I wasn't a fan of. He did some stuff that was amazing, and those were pretty damn good years. And we can say the same thing about Clinton. Hey, let's be real, all right? There were some boom years in those things. Yeah, we look back, NAFTA's been a disaster, and there's been some issues along the way, but that's everybody. I mean, your legacy isn't done today. Your legacy will be defined over time. That's when it happens. And President Obama is going to give his final, I think it's his final speech on the 10th of this month. So what, about a week from yesterday, he's going to give his final speech and he's going to talk about his legacy. And look, it's got to be tough. Whether you like him or not, and I'm as fair as anybody in this industry when it comes to the president. I have some issues with him about some of his progressiveness. I think at times he was very elitist. I think at times he didn't do much for race. And actually, I think he hurt race issues along the way. And I think he made choices and snapped judgments that I think came back and bit him in the ass. But I also think he tried some stuff. And I think he tried to do some things. And I've been very fair along the way as much as I could. And I will do the same thing with Donald Trump. I want to give him a chance. And if he has missteps and he does things that I don't think are right, I'm going to call him on. I have zero problems with that. But I can't define his legacy because he's not in there yet. And I won't define his legacy until he leaves. And along the way, remember this, you and I are going to, we're going to think about the legacy of President Obama. Your definition of his legacy may be different than mine, may be different than the person next to you, may be different than, you know, the people on the left who are always going to be on the left. They're going to look at his legacy as this amazing, incredible thing. And let's be real. He crossed the color barrier, right? He was the next Jackie Robinson. He ascended to the highest post in the land and was voted on by America. And a black man became president of the United States. That's his first and foremost legacy. Now, did he have missteps along the way? Yes. Has Obamacare come back and bite him in the ass? Yes. Is it going to be dismantled? Absolutely. Did he, across the country and across the globe, do some things as far as, you know, when you look at what happened in Syria and the red line and this, that, and the other? Yes, that's on his watch. But you know what? He got Osama. We talk about that. If you look at job growth just from the numbers, you could talk about that. If you look at the, and this is crazy. If you look at, you know, again, the unemployment numbers, they're fake. We know that. And the job growth numbers, we can read between the lines, but there's been steady job growth. Not great jobs. Not those $50,000 a year jobs, but you could say that. You can look at these things, and there's two sides to the story. Some people are going to point out that the job growth. Some people are going to point out when he took office, what was the Dow at, like 7,800? It's out now right around 20. People are going to point out a lot of these things. But then you can also read between those lines. Well, unemployment's really not 4.9%. It's more like 8 to 10%, depending where you are in the country. And those jobs that came back, well, they're really not great jobs. People need jobs to live off of, and that's not. We've got more people out of the workforce than we've ever had before. Some of that's natural. Some of that's very natural. Some of it's not. We've got more people getting assistance from the government to survive than we ever had before. Our debt. How much are we in debt today? I couldn't even tell you. It's a mixed bag, but that's every president. And you decide what his legacy is going to be. I think his biggest legacy, in a lot of ways, first is he became the first African-American. Obviously, that's massive. But I think the other thing that's going to be defined, because, again, Obamacare is going to be taken down. This Iran deal, you know, TPP is going to go away. There's going to be a lot of things that he put in there, the executive order, immigration. All of these things are going to be dismantled. So it's going to be tough to judge how any of those things, because obviously Obamacare we can judge. It's not working. We need to fix it. We need to readjust it. We need to repeal and replace it. Whatever the Republicans are going to do, they need to do it. And it's got to be tough for him sitting there. But we're all going to have a different viewpoint. CNN and the Van Joneses of the world are going to think his legacy is incredible. Right? Democrats are going to be, are just, oh, this is the greatest. People on the right are going to say the same. They're going to say the exact opposite. That his legacy was horrible. That he was horrible and wrong on everything. That he never got anything right. That he was an idiot. That he was an elitist. They're going to get it. This is what's going to happen. Again, it goes back to the fact that we are polarized in so many ways. Obama's legacy will be defined over the next several years. If Iran gets a nuclear weapon, that's on you. That's on you. There's a legacy right there. It will be defined over time. He did some things, I think, that were good. He tried to do some stuff, and they didn't come off. He had some wins and some losses. I never wish for my president, regardless of what party they are, to fail. And the right will write a different history than the left will. Remember, there's two sides to every story. Every single story. There's two sides. Somewhere in the middle lies the truth. And I think that's what Obama is going to find out. His legacy, first and foremost, that I think that is the fact that he was the first African-American, the first black president in the White House. But I think through all of that, he's going to look back and realize that there's things I want to do that I didn't get done, that the job was a lot more difficult because of the gridlock in Washington. But I also think he's going to look at stuff like race relations, and he's going to feel that he messed up. And I have to be honest with you, I think he made too many missteps there. That's just me. I think in this period, in this time, when he had an opportunity to bridge the gap even closer than it was, we haven't been this far apart since probably before the riots in the early 90s. And it's an uncomfortableness that's out there now. As he leaves the White House, people will blame Trump for this big divide, but this divide was there. Trump has, yes, he's not helped it, but I tell you what, this divide was already coming. And it wasn't all because white people didn't like a black man in the White House. There was a lot of things that he did that he could have furthered conversation. He could have furthered the opportunity to talk about race. And I think that's where a lot of this is going to go. Everything else is going to be dismantled. There's going to be nothing left to talk about. The debt will be something. He's left us a ton of debt, more debt than anybody else, but he was saddled with a lot of it when he came in here. That's not all his, but he didn't help the cause along the way either. But his legacies can be defined by individuals in their own mind. If you're on the left side of the aisle, you're going to look at him with reverence and you're going to think he did a good job. If you're on the right side of the aisle, you're going to look at him and think he screwed up and he was a horrible president, and you're going to think he's the worst president of all time, when we all know Jimmy Carter is the worst president of all time. So I heard a laughter over there. You'll define it and I'll define it. I think if I was to give him a grade, I'd give him a C plus, C minus, somewhere in there, C. I think he missed too many opportunities, and I think what he did for America in many ways, especially when it comes to dealing with foreign relations and stuff like that, really, I can't blame it all on him because Hillary was in there. We had some issues. That's definitely the truth. I think he tried to do some stuff and it didn't come off. But I'm not going to give him an F, and I'm sure they're not going to give him an A. Some people will disagree, and I'll get tons of text messages saying you're an idiot, Chad. And I'll get some people tonight saying you're an idiot, and both will be from the opposite side, who think he should have got an A and he thinks he should have got an F. I just give you the straight skinny on this kind of things. You'll decide the legacy in your mind. But I wonder how he's going to feel about it. I bet you we'll get a book about it. Mm-hmm. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423. You can always call the show as well, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Justice reform. We're going to talk about it in the little beautiful segment we called What's Next. We do it every single day at this time. We're going to look for, you know, at what's next for justice reform under the Trump presidency. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is going to be easy. Let's see what's next.
I know you're not going to like what I have to say next, but facts are facts.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next?
What's next? We take a look at something each and every single day at this time, and we talk about what's next for it. Justice reform is something I think that we need. We need. You know, people are wondering what kind of justice reform is going to be under Donald Trump's presidency. Well, first and foremost, most of the people in prison are at the state level, not as many federal prisoners. But it doesn't mean that Trump himself and potentially Jeff Sessions can't spearhead some sort of justice reform. I love my country more than anything, but we incarcerate way too many people. And if you think that our justice system is completely fair, you're fooling yourselves. We have way too many people in prison, especially people of color, who shouldn't be there. We have too many nonviolent offenders who are in prison, and it's a waste of our time and money. The recidivism rate is ridiculous. People get caught in a system and they're stuck there. Doesn't mean we don't punish crime. Doesn't mean we don't try to change some of the rules to really hit the people who should be in prison harder. But it means that we start to look at things in a much different way. Look, people that are poor, people of color, they get harder. And they get hit harder and harder. And I think we need to figure out a way that we can start to balance these things out. Because again, much like with healthcare, we are smarter than this. People want to talk about how big business is. Many of these, you know, you hear this all the time, but you'd be surprised to find out. I don't think it's much more than 15%+ of prisons are actually run privately. Now, unions would argue, because they want to make sure they still keep jobs, because you're not going to have a bunch of guards, you don't have a bunch of prisoners. But we need to have justice reform. We need to look at the way things are done. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's not being soft on crime, it's being smarter. It's having a vision for tomorrow. We're so focused on punishment of everything now, not realizing that let's take a step back and see if there's ways that we can do this smarter that will benefit us. Me as a person who is very conservative when it comes to the financial aspects of a lot of things, socially, you listen to the show, you know, I'm not so much conservative. But when it comes to financial stuff, I look at stuff and I think it's a waste of time. The money we spend incarcerating a good portion of people that really shouldn't be there, who are hanging around people that, quite frankly, they shouldn't be around because they've made some poor choices, some out of desperation, some out of greed, some out of stupidity, some out of addiction. There's better ways to do this. And it's disproportionate. When you look at African Americans, when you look at Latinos, when you look at poor people, you got money, you get out of jail. That's pretty much it. By and large, you got some coin, you're going to be all right. You've got overworked DAs. You've got overworked public defendants who would rather cut a deal and move on because they got 75 cases. We need to look at justice reform. We need to be smart about it. And we can be. I think a guy who rapes and kills should be in prison forever. I think a guy who's smoked some weed, has had some drug problems in the past, who's maybe done some petty crime, shouldn't be in prison forever. I think there's better ways to do that. And by the way, the circle of poverty and violence that we see, one of the big things is you see too many fathers, especially in the African-American community and the people of color and even poor, yes, going into prison, not being able to contribute to society, not contributing to their family. And what do we have? We have their kids following right in suit, following right behind. There's ways that we can do this because that costs you and that costs me and that costs society. We need to look at justice reform. I'm not the only one who says that, but I think there's ways that we can do it. Everybody else, you don't want to be soft on crime if you're a president or if you're a politician. No. You don't want to be soft on crime, but we need to be soft-er on some crimes. Redirect. Try to find ways to get people help they need. Try to find ways to integrate people back into society. Try to find ways to get people who are in prison and or in jail and they can't get out because they're poor and they have no way of getting bail, getting them back out there, taking away the stigma of some of this stuff. We need to figure that out. There's better ways to do things. And guess what? The people that should be in there, let's keep them in there. The people that are bad, let's keep them in there. The people that are a danger to society, let's keep them in there. But for a lot of people that are in prison, and a good majority of them, somewhere in the 85, 90% are going to get back out of prison. They're your neighbors. They're people you know. They're people you come across every day. We need to figure out a way to get them to the point where, you know what, they can see some light at the end of the tunnel. There needs to be a fair way to do things when it comes to this. Life's not fair, and it's not always going to be perfect, but we can damn sure make it better than it is now. That's what's next for Justice Reform 2017. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. You can text the show. I love it when you do. Right now on the Twitter, we've got a poll up about politics and do we hate each other so much we can't even be friends anymore based on our politics. Check that out there. You can tweet me. You can text the 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423.
The Chad Benson Show. Oh, Dad. Hi, Dad. I'm in jail. Jail, 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 jail.
The Chad Benson Show.
Radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
You can text the show 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Get some texts. Alan and Indy. Prisons should be reserved for the violent offenders who are dangerous to civil society. Also, I think privatizing prisons is a horrible idea because they are motivated by profit. And the cells are empty. Guess what? They're not making a profit. It's kind of like schools, right? That's the funny thing. Schools and prisons have the same kind of, if the kids aren't there, you're not getting your dollar's worth federally and from state. And if the people aren't in prison, you ain't getting paid. I think we could do both. I think you can have some privatization, but you know, I just look at prisons and I think we just got to figure out a way to start also rehabbing people that are there. Understand, most people are going to get out of prison. And the stigma of having a felony on their record and what it can do and how after a while that cycle of violence continues, the cycle of poverty and the cycle of going back to crime starts to happen because people don't have a chance. They can't get out from underneath it. We talked yesterday about Joe Mixon, the guy who punched that girl, the football player. You know, I'm a big believer in second chances. I am. Now, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me once, shame on you. Kind of thing. You got to give people chances, though. We've got to look at ways to do this. There's got to be better ways. I find it hard to believe that in this day and age, when the CES show is going on right now, and they're talking about talking robots that you can command inside your house to do crap, that we can't come up from a better way to society to not only police it in the right way, but also to punish it in a way that, yes, where punishment is due and is needed, that we are harsh and boom, and we lay down the hammer. But at the same time, when people make mistakes, when people make bad choices, guess what? They're not demonized forever, and that we can fix some of these things. I find it hard to believe that we can't do that. I think we can do that, and we should. There's got to be a way that we can do it. Plus the money it would save. We waste so much damn money on all kinds of crap. Ah, God. Prisons are one of them. Taxpayer money. I tell you what. It's insane. You text the show, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. The other texter writes in. Obama had the good old boys in the Senate and Congress with their gun. Everybody's worried about gun collections. Chaplain soulmate who said we are all human. God's first in faith. Man, the second animal think. Yes, crime. We should punish crime. A lot of people out there. You know, again, that's the Obama thing. A lot of people, you know, again, you're going to write your legacy about Obama. I remember when he came in there, though, he was coming after your guns. And most people I know still have their guns. California may be coming after your guns. And they're going to do it piece by piece. Soon they're going to tell you, you can have a gun, you just can't have a trigger. You can have bullets, you can have a gun. You can't have bullets in a gun. That's the way they're going to do it in California. Hell, I probably just gave somebody an idea. And then we're going to be at one of those, remember those Reese's peanut butter cup commercials? Hey, your bullet fell into my gun. No, my gun fell into your bullet. I read a great op-ed piece in Yahoo about a lady who found it tough to live on $15 an hour. Talked about how her mother struggled. Talked about how she had struggles when she had to live off right around 15 bucks an hour. Also tried to throw some of the myths out there that, you know, everybody on there is a child, which is not true. Most of them, it's not teenagers. But also what they didn't point out in this, and again, this is one of those things where that's why I always say you got to do your homework in some of this stuff. Most people don't want to do that. It's just easier to read something and go, okay, I'll believe that. It's only about 1% of people that are on minimum wage. But she talked about living in the minimum wage world and how tough it is. I don't doubt that it's tough. Hell, it's tough living off 40 grand a year in certain parts of this country. I have news for you. You make 45, 50 grand a year in California, you're not buying a house. Not in a good area. You may be Detroit. You might buy a house in Detroit. You might live in California, but you buy your house in Detroit. It's tough. After taxes, after all the stuff to come out, you're walking away with what, $1,200 every 2 weeks? You're not buying a house off that. You're living paycheck to paycheck. It's tough. I couldn't imagine what it's like to live off $12-15 an hour. But what she points out also in her op-ed is she's a business owner now. She has employees. She pays a few of them $15 an hour. But she says, I can't pay all of them $15 an hour. Because if I did, I'd have to start making decisions of, are these people worth the $15 an hour? That's the problem. That's an honest assessment of it. I have yet to meet an employer in my life that doesn't want to see their employees happy. Oh, yes, my employer busts my balls and they're horrible and they would pay nothing. They would. No, I've yet to see an employer in my life. The problem with employers is overhead. Little things you don't think of. It's expensive to run businesses. What you think you see every day. You know, we did $12,000 tonight at X, Y, and Z fast food restaurant throughout the day. These guys are making money like it's going out of business. They're just putting it in their freezer. What you don't see is what it costs to run that business every single day. They think that food shows up magically free. They think that this shows up, this widget, all the parts of this widget were free, right? You sold this widget for $500. They don't see what it costs to have the people put the widget together. They don't see the cost it had to buy each part to place that widget together. They don't see the cost of the fees and the taxes and the uninsurance and the employment, the unemployment insurance and the insurance itself and this overhead, that overhead. You don't see what it's like. And I have a small business. And trust me, we don't have a big overhead, but it still runs kind of lean. We bust our butts. But it's one of those things that, yes, while we are growing and we're doing quite well and we're very blessed, at the same time, you never know what's going to get to you next. You never know when you get that thing in the mail saying, by the way, we want to tax you for this. By the way, this is a new fee that we just added on. By the way, we're raising. You don't know what's going to happen. This is the world we live in. And I don't think people understand that. I think everybody in life should try to have a business at least once. It gives you an understanding of what's going on. And a lot of people saying, well, I have a business. No, I'm not talking about you having an eBay business where you sell some stuff on the side. I mean, trying to really have a dream and follow it and have a business. I think too many people live in fear, so they'll never do that. But the op-ed was very interesting because she was very honest about the fact that she realizes that people can't live on $12, $15 an hour. She realizes that that's a stretch. But she also realizes as a business owner, she can't afford to pay that because if she did, she would not only cut into her life, meaning she's going to have to work longer, she's going to have to fire one of them, or if she was forced to pay all of them that, she may have to fire all of them or may eventually have to get rid of everything and close shop. There's a lot of things that go into this. Minimum wage was never set up for you to raise a family of four. It was never set up that way. It was a jumping off point, and in many ways, it's been a detriment. I've always been of the mind that we should throw it out and let the marketplace decide what you're worth. You're new to something, right? You're new to the hamburger making world. You may only be worth $5 an hour. Little Jenny over here, she's been here for 4 years. I'm paying her $14 an hour. Why is that? Because she in herself is worth $14 an hour. That's what I get from her, that kind of work. But Chad, that'll cause people to pay zero. You're never going to work for somebody that pays zero. You know that, and I know that. That's the ridiculous argument that's out there. But I tell you what, I've been a lot of places where I've got to pay everybody the same, but I would rather pay somebody a little bit less and somebody a little bit more because that person's worth a little bit more than this person. Because that person brings something to the table that this person doesn't. But I can't because I'm given X, Y, and Z, and this is what I can spend, and the law says this, and so this is what everybody gets. We can't live on $15 an hour, but it was never supposed to be $15 an hour is your minimum wage, and we still can't raise a family of four. And that's already what you're hearing from the fight from 15, right? The fight for 15 people that are getting their way in a lot of places because the states are legislating, hey, we're going to raise minimum wage here in this state to $15 an hour. We're already hearing from them, you can't raise a family of four on that. No, you can't. But this is where you take personal responsibility in yourself. And you say to yourself, I have to outpace inflation. I have to outpace the cost of living. I have to better myself because that's the only way I'm going to get ahead. Because even when they move the goalposts and I think I've got a shot, guess what happens? Those goalposts move again. Everybody's got to take a little bit of personal responsibility. I'd say a lot of it, but right now, for a lot of people, I'll take a little bit. You can do a little bit. That's better than what you're doing now. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. Chadbenson, chat at chadbensonshow.com. Text the show, 323-538-2423. You can also email me, chat at chadbensonshow.com, and check out the Chad Benson Show webpage at chadbensonshow.com because it's show busy. Little say what, kids? Oh, yes, the haunting in Sweden. Guess what they're doing at the inauguration? And Phil, when you hear this story, this guy's living our dream. Even if it's only for a night. Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Say what, y'all? Say what? Say what?
Oh, man. This is some say. Woo! The Swedish Queen, Sylvia. Man, anything that happens. Do you think the ghost is sexy in Sweden, producer Phil? Do you think like it's Emmanuel? Oh, my God. She says in a new documentary that the palace is haunted. She says she shares her Trottingham Palace with small friends, ghost, if you will. They prefer to be called outer body floating apparitions and midgets. That's the first thing I would have said if she said, well, you know, we got the small friends in there, you know. And I'd be like, midgets? Oh, my God. By the way, it's an amazing, beautiful place. I've been there once. She was totally, she like invited me in. She's like, Chad, you should come hang out with me and King Carl Gustav the 20 millionth. She goes, sometimes you feel like you're not alone. Sometimes you feel like you're, you know, you're being watched. They're always friendly, though, right? Like, again, like, okay, here's one. This is a good one out there. If you could be haunted by somebody that was famous and no longer with us, who would you want to be haunted by? Who would you want to be haunted by? Producer Phil, who you want to be haunted by?
I'm thinking that's a tough question.
That is a tough question, right? Like, I would say, like, Betty Page. But I want Betty Page that was, like, crazy, sexy, fun Betty Page. I don't want crazy, you know, Bible-thumping, lunatic Betty Page that was a recluse. Marilyn Monroe. Ah, Producer Anthony said Marilyn Monroe. I'd get somebody like Liberace. And those damn candelabras would be floating around everywhere. And he'd be like, Chad, broom. And I'd have to tell my friends, dude, just let's all calm down. All right. They're like, what's that noise? I'm terrified. Don't. It's Liberace. He's cool. He's all right. He's fun. He's great. You know, Hitler, like Hitler. What are you doing here? Oh, really? 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 But no, I was thinking, I'm thinking Betty Page, Marilyn Monroe would probably be great. Man, the stories she must have. Who you think, Phil? Who's yours?
I'm coming up with nothing.
Really? Nothing? I think for guys, the first thing we think of, I'm going to have sex with a ghost.
I got a lot of fetishes. That ain't one of them.
Say what? Hey, if you're going to the inauguration, and a lot of people are going there to protest, there's going to be one group there to hand out weed. The D.C. Cannabis Coalition is planning to distribute thousands of joints for free on Inauguration Day. The main message from them is it's going to be time to legalize cannabis at the federal level. Zero problem with that. Producer Phil, weed is legal, right, in D.C. now?
Exactly, and you can't sell it, so what they're doing is completely legal.
Okay, cool. So you can't sell it, so you can give it out.
Correct. I'm taking the 20th off, by the way.
Are you? Fantastic, man. So awesome, bro. Man, it's going to be awesome. I have zero problems with that. They're giving it away. Go out there, smoke a little. Have a little fun. Again, I don't smoke, drink, or do drugs, but that's what you want to do. Knock yourself out. And trust me, for a lot of those protesters out there that are going to be crazy, they could probably use a hit of something.
That's, oh, my God, that's it's going to be cold saying. As hell.
Cold as hell, man. Have a little bit of this. Have a little bit of this. Producer Phil, you and I are big hockey fans. And a guy lived our dream the other night.
Okay.
Our dream. He is Jorge Alves. He is the equipment manager for the Carolina Hurricanes. He's 37 years old. Their backup goalie was sick. New Year's Eve. No chance to get anybody else there. He had played college hockey. Played a few games in the minors, but since then, he's just got into hockey. He's the equipment manager. They turned to him and said, boom, you're going to be our backup goalie. Not, because and unlike a lot of times when they just call somebody random from around the way, or like, I got a guy I used to play college hockey with. He's an accountant here. He could at least back us up for the night. This guy's with these guys every day. So they got a familiarity with him. Right? He sharpens their skates. Understand, an equipment manager, especially in hockey, this guy is like one of your best friends. Like, you buy him the big screen TV, and they signed him to a contract. Here's the great thing. Carolina was up 4-1 with time expiring when, yes, boom, they called the timeout and threw his ass in the game for like the final 15, 20 seconds against Montreal.
dude.
That's our dream. How awesome would be? I mean, that's rad. Like, you used to dream, like, I could kick, right? I thought, you know what? If I would have gone to college instead of going to the natural, yeah, I went the college route through Europe. But if I would have gone to college, like, here, I might have tried to kick in college because I could boom them. I was hitting 50-yard field goals as in junior high. It's like always been your dream when you're sitting there and they call you up and they go, dude, we're missing a kicker and the punter can't do it. And you're like, I'll do it. Just don't ask me to tackle anybody because it's not going to happen. Oh, God, what a dream that is. Congratulations to him. That's a say. Woo! The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter. You tweet at me. You can text at me, 323-538-2423. We have a poll up right now. Are we so divided politically that we can't even be friends anymore with someone that doesn't share the same political beliefs as us? 64% says no. 36% said yes, we're that way. You can go check out the poll right there on the Twitter. This be the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.